Reading this morning from 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, and all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, but perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers." God has called us to love. That's his command. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment was to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second was like it, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And now John is reminding us to keep loving each other. You see, love is an important part of a Christian walk. Love is proof of our fellowship with God. It is the test of our spiritual life. It is the test of our Christian life. It's the test of our relationship with God. Love for God finds its outlet in love for one another. And faith in Christ finds its assurance in a life of love. And so one of the things we can draw here is to be Christian is to love. We love. This is not some emotional thing. This love is to seek the best for others in word and deed. It's not enough for us to seek the best in others in just deed or in just word. It takes both word and deed. This is what God has done for us. This was the love he demonstrated for us. So being united to God by faith in Jesus, then we are to share his nature. We are to be like him. And John tells us that God is love. In 1 John, we actually find three expressions of God's nature. John tells us that God is spirit. This is God's essence. He's not flesh and blood like we are. He is spirit. So God is not limited by time or space as we are. And you know, the neat thing here is one day we will have a glorious body just like Jesus has. Something to look forward to, isn't it? John also tells us that God is light. Light is a symbol of holiness, just like darkness is a symbol of sin. God is holy. And being holy, God cannot sin. And that, according to John, what he tells us is that is God's desire for us, that we would not sin. And when we are adopted into God's family, we receive his holy nature, becoming a beacon of holiness in the world in which we live, a beacon of light. And then John tells us that God is love. Now, that's not the same as to say his love is God. Love does not define who God is. God defines what love is. We saw that last week when we said, when it said, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we are to lay down our life for each other. So knowing God, our lives are to fulfill God's definition of love. And so we are known as Christians by our love. John said, anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. When I was a teenager way back in the dark ages, we used to sing a song. They will know we are Christians by our love. And that is so true. They will. This love is not like what the world calls love. This is a special kind of love. It's a genuine love. It's a holy love, a sacrificial love that comes only from God. It's a kind of love that we can only have when we are a child of God, when we have been born again. It's the kind of love we know when we have an intimate, personal relationship with God. You see, we're not only born of God, we're to know God. We are to know a God and enjoy His love and to share His divine nature. See, this is what happens because God pours Himself into us. In Romans 5:5, we read, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. And in verse 12, John says, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us, with the result being we love each other. So God's DNA is seen in us, and God's DNA is seen through us. You know, DNA is a test that is done to prove identity. DNA tests are done in crimes to prove somebody guilty of committing a crime, but DNA tests are also done to prove one person is kin to another person, and, you know, Ancestry does that. They do these DNA tests that, and I've done it, and I have found long-lost people I didn't even know, you know, but we have the same bloodline. DNA. The DNA of a Christian is love. You know, if they was to take our DNA as a Christian, that's what they should find when they separate all the stuff out, and what they should find is love, but it's not any love. They should find God's love. For you see, love is not an option. There's not a choice whether we want to love or not. There's not a choice as to who we love and who we don't love, because we're to love everyone. John says, if you don't love, you don't know God, because God is love. So this love is definitely higher and infinitely higher and has more life, giving more than any concept of love this world has to offer, because this love comes from God. He's the source. He loves us, and He fills us with love that we must share. So as a Christian, we should become what God is. And God is love. But before we can become love, we must know God. And so that we could know God, God acted in love. He loved us, and He sent His Son. God communicated His love to us in words and deeds. He sent His one and only Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins and to give us eternal life. God demonstrated His love for us through Christ on the cross, and He did it for our benefit. What a demonstration of love, that Jesus, the Son of God, laid down His life that we can know what love really is. John said this is real love. It's not that we love God. See, what John tells us and reminds us of here is that God took the initiative. God took the initiative loving us when we didn't love him. He loved us first. And he sent Jesus to be our Savior. And now believing in Jesus and knowing that love ourselves, we are to act in love. Since God loved us that much, John says we are to love each other. And you know, that doesn't go with the way we think. God loves you, so you should love others. And that just doesn't go the way we think. Here's how usually we think. You love me, and I'll love you. God loves me, so I'll love God. John goes, That's not the way it goes. It's more like a triangle. God loves me, now I'm going to love you. Because God loves them also. God loves us, and God loves others. So we love others like God loves them to show them the love of God, that maybe they will love God. So we like to think of it, God loves me, so I'm going to show my love to God. No, John says we're going to show our love to the people around us, that they might come to know God. You know, maybe sometimes we just mix up like and love. You know, you like someone because of what they do for you. Just think about it a minute. You like someone because of what they do for you or what they do in general. You like what they do. So you like that individual because of what they do, but most of the time it's because of what they do for you or to you. But love has nothing to do with what they do for you. Love has little to do with what comes at us. Love is about what goes out from us, regardless of what they do. We like them because of what they do. We love them regardless of what they do or don't do. See, love is what you give out. Love is you seeking their best, regardless of what they do for you or to you, if they do anything at all. See, John's not calling us, and God's not calling us to like. God's calling us to love. To reach out and love regardless. This is what we see from God. This is what God did. While we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of God, while we weren't doing anything for God, Christ died for us. God loved us. God demonstrated his love for us. And now that we know God, now that we love God, we are to demonstrate that love by loving others. What John points out to us, loving others is possible. And really, it's only possible because God lives in us. We are participants in God's love. God wants to do more than just tell us about his love and show us his love. God wants to live in us. He wants to fill us with his love. You know, a few Sundays ago, we talked about Gideon and how God put on Gideon. That's what God wants to do. He wants to put us on and live through us. See, God's always had a dwelling place. He's always had a sanctuary. In Genesis, the very first part, we find it was in the Garden of Eden when God walked with Adam and Eve and fellowshiped with them in the Garden of Eden. That was God's sanctuary. And then we know sin messed that all that up and they got kicked out of the garden. But God continued to walk with people. He walked with Enoch, and he walked with Noah, and he walked with Abraham. And even from the Exodus, he was with the children of Israel through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And then they constructed an ark of a covenant that represented where God lived. And then they built the tabernacles where the ark stayed that showed this was where God dwells. And then they built a temple. Solomon built a temple. And now today, we are the temple, the sanctuary of God, the place where God desires to dwell. And so he gives us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and that he lives in us. And with the Spirit living in us, the evidence of the Spirit in our lives is we love. We demonstrate God's love to each other. Now, here's the deal. None of us can see God. We can't. God is spirit. We can't see God. Adam and Eve saw God. God walked with them in the garden and fellowshiped with them. The only others we find in the Bible who even came close to seeing God was Elijah and Moses. But even they didn't get to see the face of God. We can't see God. People in the world cannot see God. But they see us. They see us. And with the Spirit of God abiding in us, we are to be the image of the invisible God. Because as people see us, and especially as they see us love, God's love is revealed to them. They see it in us. God's love in us will be expressed through us. When we are filled with the Spirit, loving others will become as natural as breathing. We will live like Jesus. And the more this love grows in us, the more the full expression of love comes about, the more we will look like Jesus. You know, John said, perfect love. The full expression of love, the made complete love. When John writes about that, he's not talking about something that's flawless or faultless on our part. Because only God's love is perfect. At our best, we are only being an imitation of him in love. But we are to pursue the goal. We are to reach for the goal. We are to make progress in our love. You see, love in us can be and must continue to be perfected or made complete. Our love is to grow. Have you ever said or heard someone say, "I love you more today than the day I married you"? You ever heard that? Ever said that? Oh, wait a minute. When you married your spouse, didn't you love them with everything you had? Didn't you? Yeah, now today you love them more than you did then? Yeah. Because love grows. And you know, as complete and perfect as love may seem today, in the future, it's not to be here. It's to be over here and grow. Our love grows. Today, love in us may be good, but it can be better and it can grow. And by the grace of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, one day we just might arrive to the place where we no longer struggle with loving others. See, I don't know about you. We're to love everyone, but sometimes you struggle loving some people. But if our love in Christ continues to grow, maybe, just maybe, someday, we'll come to the place that loving others is as natural as breathing. We just naturally love them. Because God's love lives in us. You know, Jesus seemed to say that when he said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And what he was talking about when he was in that verse of Scripture, he was talking about love. You see, God desires to perfect his love in us. And you know how love is perfected? It's perfected in relationships. You don't experience love in isolation. It takes place in relationships. It takes place in community. And then there's just another reason why it's important to gather together as the body of Christ to worship. Love takes place in community. And so our love for God will not grow if we're not having fellowship with him. Nor will our love for anyone else grow if we're not having fellowship with them. This love must begin within us, but it can only be made complete among us. Without others, your love will never be made complete or perfect or mature. So love one another. John says, when we come to this place, what we will find is love perfected replaces anxiety with confidence. He said, love expels all fear. See, fear is about self-preservation, whether it be about hanging on to what I've got or avoiding punishment for what I've done. Fear is about self-preservation. Love is about others. It's not about self. So perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love is a gift to be shared. God first loved us. What a gift. But you know the thing about gifts? They do you absolutely no good until you open them. If I was to give you a gift and all you did was take it home and set it on some shelf somewhere and you never opened it, what good would it do you? Give you something else to dust. A gift's no good till you open it. God has given us a wonderful gift. But we've got to open it. We have to embrace it. And as we open that gift and we embrace that gift and we experience that love, then we're to pass it on. We need to allow God to love others through us. In essence, we need to offer them that gift. Because here's the deal. Unless we love the lost, our verbal witness to them will be almost useless. If all we're doing is words and never expressing love, it takes both words and deeds. And folks, if there's anything in the people in our world today need, they need an expression of genuine love. The motivation for all we do needs to be love. God is love. And that is the basis for every believer's relationship with God and each other. Because God is love, we know God, and we can love one another. You know, this idea to love one another, it began as a commandment. We're commanded to love one another. But then it becomes a privilege. But as love is perfected, there is just the thrilling consequences and evidence of Christ in us and the Holy Spirit in us. It just becomes more than a commandment. It becomes more than a privilege. It just becomes the evidence, the life of God in us. So loving one another is not something we ought to do. It's something we should want to do. Christian love cannot be separated from others. If we love God, we will love one another. And if we love one another, we will grow in our love for God because God is love. The big question for us this morning would be simply this. Do you know the love of God in your life? Do you know the love of God in your life? And is your life characterized by love? Do people see the love of God in you? Dear God, this morning, they seem so simple words. But sometimes so hard to live out. A life of love. But dear God, it's the life that you're calling us to live. A life where we love you and we love others. A life where this love we have for you and this love we have for others grows. That our life is so filled with your presence and your love that it just can't help but go out to those around us. Dear God, our prayer this morning is that you would fill us with your love. Fill us with your presence. Anoint us afresh and anew, dear God, to where this love that John speaks about today becomes a reality in our hearts and in our lives. And we find ourselves just naturally loving people, regardless of who they are. Dear God, we want to be a people who are known by our love for you and our love for others. So may we know Jesus and know his love for us. And be so filled that we love. We love others the way you have loved us. We thank you today, dear God, that existence can be ours as we put our trust and our faith and our belief in you and strive, dear God, for our relationship with you to grow deeper and stronger each day. Dear God, thank you for loving us. We give you praise and thanks today.